Welcome to Radio Sefarad's English Corner. I'm your host, Linda Jimenez, bringing news and other features of Jewish interest to Radio Sefarad's English-speaking audience in Spain and around the world. Our trivia question for this week is, what was the so-called fifth line on Soviet documents? Rebecca Strong is a writer and painter. She was born in the Soviet Union and emigrated to the United States with her family in the 1980s. Since then, she's lived in many different countries on three continents. She's written articles and stories that have appeared in a number of publications, including The New York Times, The Washington Post, The Wall Street Journal, and The Jewish Daily Forward. Her paintings have also been published in a variety of art and literary magazines. Rebecca's first novel, Who is Mr. Pluton?, was published in the United States on June 22nd. We attended the presentation of the book in Spain and spoke with Rebecca about her unusual and interesting life experiences and her new book.
Thank you very much for speaking with us today, Rebecca. First, I would like to know something about your own background because it's very unusual. So can you tell us a little bit about where you were born and where you grew up?
Sure. I was born in a country that no longer exists. So that would be the Soviet Union and in Moscow during the Brezhnev years. And then when I was 20, I had a chance to move to the United States with a Jewish immigration. There was a second wave of Jewish immigration. And so I grew up, obviously, in the Soviet Union, but then you know, I went to the university and then for my master's in the United States. And then because of the profession that I've chosen, I started traveling around. So I haven't really lived in the U.S. for all that long. I've kind of lived outside, but, you know, I'm an American now.
I have to ask you this, because if you grew up in the Soviet Union and lived there till you were 20, where is your English from? Because your English is really, really practically native.
Well, thank you. I went to the university in the States, right? And also, I think I have the ear for languages, they say, although I have absolutely zero ear for music. I'm completely tone deaf. But languages, I don't know, they just kind of come to me.
So where have you lived?
Well, in the U.S. or also around the world?
Well, around the world.
Okay. Well, I've lived in the U.S. I studied in the U.S. I've lived in Argentina for 3.5 beautiful years. We lived in Uzbekistan, where we went to work right after we graduated. We lived back in Russia, but not in the city where I was born. We lived in St. Petersburg, which is exactly where the book action takes place. We lived, now living in Spain and in the U.S., various places, Miami, New Haven, New York, New England.
Is that a royal we, or are you talking about more than one person?
Sorry. Yeah, my family. Good question. Yeah, my family with my husband and my daughter. Uh-huh. Yeah, and my dog.
And why did you go to Argentina? Why did you go to Uzbekistan?
Well, we went to Uzbekistan because of my job. When I graduated and my husband graduated with our master's degree, I got a job because my Russian was so good and the Soviet Union just fell apart and they needed people who spoke Russian in the development field, which was my field to begin with. And that's why we went there. And while there, my husband took an exam for the Foreign Service and then got in. And that's how we went to Argentina after Uzbekistan.
So is that what brought you to Spain?
Yes, yeah.
Mm-hmm. How long have you been here?
3 years.
Yeah. And aside from writing, do you work at anything else?
I used to. I'm kind of finishing up that part of my life now because I've always wanted to write. I used to do a lot of things. I used to do international development from the very beginning of my career. Then I had a small business in expatriate coaching. And now I've decided that I would really like to just concentrate on writing and also painting. I also paint, yeah.
Have you always written? Have you been writing since you were a child?
I wrote when I was little, but I had such a horrid teacher of Russian language and literature that, you know, I didn't want to have anything to do with writing. But then when I moved to the States and I studied pre-med because my parents wanted me to be a doctor, which I did not want to, one of my favorite subjects was English writing. And from then on, I was kind of really interested in writing in English.
This book, Who is Mr. Plutin, was just published on the 22nd, right, of June in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
What other kind of writing have you done?
This is my fiction novel, so the novel obviously is fiction. And after I sort of finished it and started shopping it around and found a publisher, I started writing a lot of nonfiction, which mostly have to do with personal essays. So that's what I'm doing right now, because the journey that I took from growing up in the Soviet Union as a Jewish woman and then taking my family and moving it out to the United States. Whenever I tell people about this journey, they say, well, you have to write about it because it's amazing. So this is what sort of going to be my next thing. I'm writing these essays, which are memoir-based partially, but are going to be part of the memoir.
You just mentioned growing up Jewish in the Soviet Union. Can you speak a little bit about that?
Well, it was a, you know, fascinating experience. I think looking back, when I was in it, it wasn't so fascinating. It was, you know, late 60s, early 70s, well, all of the 70s and almost all of the 80s. And you had anti-Semitism present everywhere, including my school, including our yard, our apartment building, and the government. So being a Jew was not a good thing. I got really, really good at hiding. And partially because my last name, which is my father's last name, comes from, we think, Sephardic roots, because it just doesn't sound Ashkenazi and it doesn't sound Jewish. It did not sound Jewish to the Russian ear. So they didn't think I was Jewish and I didn't look Jewish. And I kind of passed, unless somebody looked at my documents. So that's how I got really good at hiding, and I had to hide basically my entire life I lived there, because I didn't want to be insulted. I didn't want to be called a kike. I didn't want to be looked at in a way that Russian anti-Semites look at Jews. So, yeah.
So on your documents, it said you were Jewish.
Yeah, everyone in the Soviet Union had a passport, and we even called it the fifth line. And I actually have a story about it in an anthology that's been published. And that fifth line listed who you were. It said you're a Jew, you're an Armenian, or you're Uzbek, or you're Ukrainian. But it listed your ethnic origin. So Jew was an ethnic origin for us. And everybody knew it because even teachers had it in there. Like, they had a journal with your grades. And they had name, nationality, your grades. So if you go down the list, and of course kids always sneak into people into a teacher's journal, you can see Russian, 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 Jewish, Russian, Russian, Russian. So I was the only Jew in my class. And so obviously I got the brunt of, you know, being called a kike all the time.
Well, that's very interesting, because Ukrainian is a country, is a place. Uzbekistan is a place.
Right.
Jewish is not a place.
Right, yeah.
Did they also put down if someone was, let's say, of another religion?
No, it wasn't religion. They called it nationality. Like, if you take the Russian word and translate it, it would be nationality.
Interesting.
Yeah, but it was sort of ethnic origin.
So let's talk about your name, because Rebecca Strong is a pen name. How did you choose it?
Well, again, we go back to the origins of anti-Semitism. When I was born, my parents, of course, by Jewish tradition, wanted to name me after my great-grandmother, who died a few years earlier. And it was impossible in the Soviet Union to give somebody a name like Rebecca. She was actually Rivka, which was kind of like, to me, is kind of like Rebecca. So they said, okay, instead of Rivka, obviously, we don't want to expose our child to more anti-Semitism she's going to get already. We're going to call you Rita. And then that translated into Margarita. And basically, I was Margarita for the rest of my life. But when I was looking for a pen name, I said, well, I was supposed to be Rebecca. So I'm just going to be Rebecca. And then I'm going to find another one that sounds good with Rebecca and put them together.
Yeah, I'm interested in the Strong part, because I'm wondering if Rebecca Strong is kind of like your alter ego. And if Strong is there for a reason? I mean, if it has anything to do with your personality or your
strength. It could be. It could be. It could have been subconscious because, you know, I was looking for something that sounds good, but it could have been because, yeah, you know, I mean, my grandfather always said, if it wasn't for you, we would have never left the Soviet Union. Because in 88, I said, okay, I've had enough. Let's just go, you know. And my parents were not into the idea at all because, you know, they didn't really know what they were getting themselves into. They were in their early 40s, moving to a new country with a new language, etc. But yeah, I convinced them. So yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Are they happy there, your parents?
Oh yeah, they're thrilled now. I mean, it's been a while, so yeah.
Well, let's talk about the book, right? This is your first novel.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us a little bit about it? What made you decide to write it?
Well, we were living back in Russia, in St. Petersburg, with my husband and my daughter. And, of course, I spoke absolutely native Russian. But whenever I went somewhere, I didn't know how to function because I've forgotten all of it. And a lot of the things that are happening now in Russia or how you live your daily life, you know, it's kind of reminiscent of what used to be before. It's not really Western. So people used to look at me as if I'd fallen off the moon. Why do you speak completely native Russian, but you are lost in how you're supposed to do things? And that's how the idea came to me. It's like, what if I have a protagonist who somehow gets transported to Russia, but has totally American mindset, and then she has an important job to do? And so that's where it sort of started. And the protagonist, because she has such strong personality, she sort of dictated the plot in a way, which had me going various places. I was writing by the seat of my pants, basically.
I think that what you just said happens kind of to anybody, whether or not they speak the language, going to another culture and being accustomed to doing things a certain way and then discovering, you know, oh, no, you know, here you have to get on at the back of the bus and I thought you had to get on at the front of the bus. I mean, I think that that's something that probably
it
happens.
Totally does, but you have an accent and
yeah.
Like people know you're a foreigner.
Mm-hmm.
Like I remember this particular case that got me thinking was in that bakery where I did not know how to pay for the cake. I was supposed to take a piece of paper, go to the cashier, pay, bring another piece of paper. It was like a 3-step process. And the saleswoman was looking at me going, why don't you know this? You know, you speak and look exactly like, you know, people here.
How long did it take you to write once you started writing?
Well, it took a while. I think from the beginning to end, when I just continuously wrote, was probably about 3 years. And then between the moves, because during the time I was writing, we moved from Russia to Miami. That kind of affected it. And then when I came here, a friend of mine read the ending and said the ending does not work. So I had to rewrite the ending. So it's like 6 years altogether, I think, between the time I started and the time it came out.
And you had previously written nonfiction, short nonfiction, you said.
Very short nonfiction, yeah. And some stories also as well, fiction, yeah.
Had they also been published?
Yeah, there are 3 stories floating around the internet. I've also written some humor that's also floating around the internet that have been published.
Can you tell us something about this writers group that you belong to here?
Yes, it's actually a very good environment to write and to get inspired and to be part of the writing community. It was really funny how I got into it because when I arrived, I went on one of those, there's a forum on the internet that's called Absolute Right, and all the writers congregate there, like from around the world, and they ask each other questions. So I think I asked a question about one of my short stories, and whoever answered was from Madrid. And I said, oh, I've just moved to Madrid. And he said, oh, if you're interested, there is a writers group. And that's how I came to find it. So we meet every Tuesday. It's for English-speaking or English-writing people. So, I mean, you don't have to be a native English speaker, but it's writing in English. And we just write. And it's not really critiquing. It's every one of us has led that session. So we bring whatever is interesting to us. I've led sessions on memoirs, nonfiction writing, pitching your novel to an agent. So we kind of choose the topics. And we get together and we write on that topic.
Do you have any idea how long you'll stay here in Spain?
Not really, no. We might have another year, another two, I don't know. Yeah, I'd like to stay more. I really like the country.
Can you tell us a little bit more? You mentioned that you're working on memoirs. Can you tell us a little more about that?
It's going to be hopefully a memoir and essays. And I know that's a hard one to sell to a publisher, but that's what it's coming out to be. So each piece of my life I'm looking at, I'm writing an essay about it. I've actually published a few. New York Times has one, the Christian Science Monitor, the Jewish Daily Forward. So those essays are all going to be come together. They're going to be coming together in one book, one memoir of essays. But it has to be with being a young woman and coming out of age in the Soviet Union and then moving and going through immigration, because we had we have quite a few stories.
Can you tell us a little bit about how you went about getting the book published? Because I think that's kind of a funny story.
Yeah, well, I was, of course, looking for an agent because that's ideal. And I've been sending queries for, I think, 9 months. And I was at a number about 100. And they say that 100 is like the minimum you have to send before you get discouraged. So I was getting discouraged. And then I was browsing Facebook, being part of my writer's group on Facebook. And then one of the women in that writer's group mentioned, she said, oh, there is an ad pit going on Twitter. An ad pit is like a pitching on steroids, because you're pitching in 140 characters to the whole of internet. So you have to take your novel, summarize it in 140 characters, put a hashtag ad pit, and then just let the agents or publishers that are stalking that hashtag decide whether or not they're interested. So I said, well, you know, okay, fine. Obviously, my novel does not fit into any of this, because usually it's young adult or fantasy or dystopian fiction. Those are the agents and the publishers that usually stalk that hashtag. But I said, you know what, I have nothing to lose. So I put in my 140 characters, and it read exactly like this: two superpowers, one female agent, zero second chances, and plenty of Dom Perignon. And I just put it in, and I went to bed. And the next day, somebody favorited my tweet. And it was a small publisher who does work in the genres of fantasy and dystopian fiction, but wants to move into the contemporary fiction. And they asked for the first 5 pages. Then they loved it and asked for more. And then they said, you know what? It will work really well for us to start up this new imprint of ours. So I found a publisher on Twitter. I tell that to everybody because it's one of those stories that I think, you know, unbelievable.
Is there anything else you'd like to tell us that we might have left out?
No, nothing. Yeah, just the book is available. It's a very fun read. So if your English is not necessarily as strong as you think it is, it's actually an easy read. It's a very fast read, and it's a great summer read.
And I imagine it's available on Amazon.
So yeah, it is on Amazon.
We can include a link.
Exactly. Yeah, it's on Amazon Spain as well. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, thank you very much.
Well, thank you for having me.
If you would like to learn more about Rebecca Strong and see the trailer of her book or order it, please go to the links on this page. Well, that's it for this week. As always, we'd love to hear from you. So please email us any comments or suggestions or questions you'd like us to answer on the air. Our address is EnglishCorner@RadioSephirot.com. See you next week.